safe to start. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to Punk News Podcast number 609. I'm a news editor and so much more, and more, and I'm taking the reins this week, and who knows if anyone's ever going to get them back. So joining me are Punk News Features editor, published author, and all-around cool dude, John Gentile.
How did you hear that? M4 is already claiming a coup. We gave her the power, and she's already claimed the whole thing for herself.
Well, she said she was taking the reins, and it just made me want to, like, like I was like a wild, like I was like a wild horse that M is trying to tame now.
Oh, see, I thought you were like making an allusion to that. What's the Christmas song that starts with the horse going meh? You know, it's a holly jolly Christmas time or something.
Yeah, and then it starts with like the click clop clop.
Right.
Click, clop. Yeah, which one is that?
I can't remember. Jingle bells, because they're in a horse. They're in a sleigh. They're not in a horse. And also joining is Howie Bullitt, environmental activist, family extraordinaire, and also all-around cool dude.
Yes. It is I, part horse, part cool dude.
The centaur reborn.
Exactly.
What I want to know is how come in modern society everyone portrays like centaurs as like these noble creatures, when if you read Greek and Roman history, they're drunk dudes that bang and fight all the time, and that's all they do.
Dude, listen, I don't want to start the podcast with a tangent, but here I go. It's going to be short. Speaking of Greek myths and shit, I'm reading this book, Circe. Do you guys know this one? It's like a retelling of like the, right? Because she was like a character in Greek mythology, and it's like retelling of all her stories from her point of view, with like a kind of like a feminine, like a more feminist point of view. And it is so sick. It is such a good book. I cannot more highly recommend it. Okay, moving on.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. So I've had centaurs. I've had centaurs in my mind. I've had centaurs on the brain.
That would be a good band name.
Centaurs on the brain. Centaurs on my mind is more like it's like a softer, more of like a maybe like a 70s sort of easy listening sort of band.
I like it.
I've killed this episode just straight out of the gate. I killed it.
That works, because that leads into Emmer's really fun, super awesome CanCon game. So that's the name of it. And so I have a list of 15 bands, and they are from Canada, and you have to tell me if they are real or tell me if they are fake, and you'll get points based on if you get it right or if you get it wrong, and winner just gets like bragging rights and can be the honorary Canadian for the episode. So that means you have to say A all the time and a boot. So
I'm going to be so bad at this. I'm going to be getting like hate mail from Canadians.
So are Hallie and I competing against each other, or is this like not you bet your life, we're working together. Are we competing against each other or with each other?
Competing against each other.
All right.
Let's make it interesting.
Do we buzz in, or how's it work?
When you know it, make a sound and then spit it out.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so we'll start with an easy one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bad Waitress. John, point.
You stole my sound. I'm going to have to be another creature now.
I'll let you have the horse, Winnie.
No. I really liked your horse. You should be the horse. I'll have another sound.
Okay. Next one is The Lease Meese.
Fake band.
John. Sorry?
Fake band, not real.
Correct. 2 for 2. Bedwetters Anonymous.
Quack, quack.
Hallie.
That seems fake to me. I mean, I'm just guessing at this point. I have no actual knowledge to bring to this game.
No, they are real.
Good for them.
They are real. They are really cool. They have an EP called Are You Experiencing Discomfort that came out a couple years ago, and it is amazing. Marcel and the Yoga Frogs.
Oh, God, I want that to be fake so bad, just so that I know that you made up the name. What is it?
Marcel and the Yoga Frogs.
Oh, please tell me you made that up, Em. I'm not, I haven't officially answered, though. John, do you have an official
answer? You have to officially answer, and then I will.
Fake name. John.
Correct. I will show you Marcel the Yoga Frog after this episode. He exists. Of them.
Oh, me! That's
John. Yeah. They do. They like birds.
I mean, who doesn't? I'm a bird, apparently, because my sound is a quack. Now I'm a duck. Quack, quack. Yeah,
I forgot that a duck was a bird. I'm not even kidding you. Like,
what did you think it was?
A duck. I was thinking a duck was a duck. I mean, you're right.
I mean, you're right. hockey hosers.
Hallie, but what if she says, like you know how, like, No Means No had fake bands that they weren't actually? What if M Moore gives us a fake band that was actually a band? So I'll ring. Well, Hallie, you want to ring in?
Quack, quack.
Yes.
That sounds fake. I mean, also, it sounds like a little, like, Canadian racist.
Canadian racist.
Yeah, like, it's like every stereotype. It's like every stereotype about Canadians.
We are all just Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Yep.
That's it. You are correct. It is a fake band. Hallie, you're on the board. You have 1 point.
Thank you.
Dead Cosmetics. John.
Real band.
Correct. Real band. They are from Barrie, and they do really cool gothy stuff. Ghost Files.
No, I don't.
Fake band.
Fake band, correct. Do you know what Ghost Files is?
I know what Ghost Writer is, the magical ghost that helps you solve crime through the power of math and reading. How about you remember Ghost Writer?
Like, I remember that it was a thing.
He was a ghost that would help kids solve murders and stuff. But
yeah.
Instead of just telling them who the murderer was, he would make them do dangerous things, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
He wanted more ghosts. Captain Wildchild.
Me! Fake band.
John. Sorry?
Fake band.
No. Damn. They are real. And if you like the Dirty Nil, you will love this band. Their bassist is currently the Dirty Nil's bassist.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Lost Library Card.
Good band name, but fake band.
Correct. Not inspired by a true story. Thank God. The Horny Bitches.
That band could either be, like, the most, like, poor taste band, terrible band ever, or, like, the best band ever, depending on who's in the band.
Quack, quack.
Tally.
That has to be real.
That is real, yes. Yeah,
I just, like, I can see you making up Marcel and the Yoga Frogs, but I can't see you making just arbitrarily making up a band called the Horny Bitches.
It's not in my character.
Nah.
Crisis Party.
Real band.
John, yes, correct. That is a Matty Grace band.
Oh, right. That's a great band.
Yeah, they're really
good. Not as good as the Horny Bitches.
No one can beat the Horny Bitches. Jerk Switch.
Jerk Switch. I love that I have, like, I have no knowledge to bring to any of this. I just have to go by gut alone and, like, and what I know about M. Moore. Like, this is basically like a test of, like, me understanding M. Moore's psychology, basically.
Fake
John.
Band. Fake band.
No, they're a real band. out of controller.
Fake band.
Real band.
Damn.
And last one. This one for all the all dress chips. Beaver tail sundae.
I want it to be a real band. All right, Horace, you've really had to take the lead on this one. Quack quack. I say that's a fake band.
You're correct. That is a fake band.
I think Hallie might have won.
No, no way.
John, you won. You got I think 9. Yeah, you got 9. Hallie, you got 2. So I was trying to think of like what is an only Canadian like fast food place. And the only two that kind of came to mind.
Tim Hortons, eh? Everyone loves them going to Tim Hortons. When I need my protein, I go on down to Tim Hortons and say, "Mighty, give me some protein, Tim." And Tim Hortons says to me, he says, "I've got some protein for you. Are you going to go skiing?" I said, "Damn straight, I'm going skiing. I'm going to ride my snowmobile. And then I'm going to listen to some Rush and some Neil Young and some Guess Who. And I'm going to say, American woman, stay away from me. It's Canada, the greatest country in the world. All the snowy white hills, the snowy white streets. Everyone saying, hey, and being polite to each other. Oh, Canada, tis of thee. God save the queen."
What is happening? This is like Scarlett O'Hara meets Oliver Twist. This is the strangest accent I've ever heard.
I'm just proclaiming the love of Canada, my best Canadian accent, Allie. Hey, let me see. Allie, tonight, after the episode, do you think I should listen to Fly By Night 2112, or should I listen to Subdivisions?
I Subdivisions. And then watch Gone with the Wind and Oliver the musical back to back.
Hey.
Honestly, I had a professor when I was in London that had lived, she had grown up in the Bronx, but then she had moved to England like, you know, 25 years earlier. And she had this accent that was like, honestly, just 50-50, like the Bronx and then like London that nearly made my head explode. That was really something to listen to.
Along those lines, similar.
Oh my God.
We're way off on tangent in the episode. I don't care. Jonah Valka, who's in F'd Up, moved to England, and then his accent immediately became like super English. And I don't buy his accent. I feel like he just decided to start talking like an English guy, even though he's Canadian.
It is really, really, really easy though to like slip into it because
person.
To have like different accents, because have you heard anyone from like, there are certain areas that are very much influenced that way, like certain like Atlantic provinces are very like Celtic.
I don't know what an Atlantic province is. What's an Atlantic province?
Like Newfoundland.
Atlantic province. Beaches in North America. The 4 provinces are New Brunswick, Newfoundland, Labrador, Nova Scotia,
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. Fun fact, Hallie Bullitt, what is Prince Edward Island famous for?
No, I don't know. Potatoes. I mean, it's not famous to me.
Potatoes. Prince Edward Island is very famous for white potatoes.
And
it can't
red
be that
sand.
Famous for potatoes, because I don't know that potatoes are from Prince Edward Island.
You've had them, you just don't know about it. They're the best potatoes you've ever had.
Okay.
Oh, and Anne of Green Gables, like, come on.
Oh, Anne of Green
Gables. Lucy Maud Montgomery, all that. What else is meat, like moose that are just like walking death traps. Those are always fun. Sasquatch.
Wait, what's wrong with these moose? Why are these moose walking death traps?
If you hit them.
Because you hit them with your car. Got it.
Well, because their legs buckle. So you're just like dead moose.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not good. But anyways, there's lots of cool things in Canada, like these here bands. Lots of other really cool bands. So who wants to play a song?
Oh.
I'll play a song.
Play a song,
this
John
is my
Gentile.
Favorite Canadian band. This is Off.
Oh, God.
This is Off. Who's from Canada. They got this guy called Keith Morris in the band, and he's a great singer. And they got a new album out on Friday, September 30th. It's called Free LSD, and that's off that album, and it is fantastic. Yeehaw, I'm from Canada.
The scary thing is there's probably a group of people in Alberta who talk like that. And you just, like, nailed it.
Fun fact, I was blown away when I learned that a lot of Canadian people wear cowboy hats. I thought that was
a
South United States thing, and Mexico and stuff. But I didn't know in Canada they wear cowboy hats, too.
They're real cowboys. Yeah. True.
Fair enough, fair enough. Yeehaw!
Woo! All right, so somebody who I don't think is a cowboy, but who might be now because he's going to have plenty of time on his hands, is Brian Gorshiger. I just butchered his name. I'm sorry about that. Has announced that he will be retiring from playing in bands completely. So obviously this spells the end for Nightbirds. He released a statement on Instagram, so I will read it. And it says, I'm retiring from playing in bands. Info for a final Nightbirds gig is in the works. It's not a bad thing. It's not a dramatic thing. It's just something I want to do. The driving force where I need to do it through my teen years until not so long ago simply is no longer there, for better or for worse. I always thought that if something happened, or if it happened, it would be time to stop playing. Music has given me the coolest opportunities and experiences I could ever have imagined. It shaped my life and taught me how I wanted to be as a person. I couldn't be more grateful. I love all my bandmates, like actual family, and their support on this decision only furthers that. I truly appreciate anyone who's ever checked out one of my bands and many folks who've contributed to this journey. Punk still rules. Go start your own band. So, what are your thoughts on retiring from playing in bands? Do you think he's truly done with punk rock? And are you sad to see Nightbirds ending?
I mean, I'm super sad to see Nightbirds ending, but also it's just kind of, it's like just sort of wonderful and refreshing for someone to just be like, as he says, not dramatically, just be like, yeah, I don't need this anymore. It's like kind of great, right? So it's very chill, very mature. You know, he's got a family that he loves and a career that's also, you know, still very much in music as like a, you know, as a record collector and, you know, like collector of like all things punk rock history. And I just don't, I don't know, as someone that also feels like I did music and loved it, and now people are like, oh, do you miss it? And then when I look into my heart, I'm like, man, no, I really don't. You know, it's I read this and I was like, yeah, totally. And I believe him that his band is supportive of it. They those guys are really good friends. But yeah, I mean, he's got a family and a career that's still keeps him very much involved in music, and that also requires some travel of him. And I think he probably just doesn't want to have to travel. And even though Nightbirds have sort of been existing really on their own terms, you know, the last bunch of years, they definitely don't do a ton of touring. They don't play a ton of shows. All of those guys have like other lives outside the band. But yeah, I can see where you would get to a point where you're just like, I just don't need to keep doing this. And I kind of love that he feels free to just like go with that. He's not like super worried about like feeling obligated to just continue with something he doesn't need to do anymore. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I was a little surprised.
No, John, no, please.
I was a little surprised by the statement because he like started like two other bands in like the past 2 years. He had that band Character Actor, and I think he had another band that just put out a cassette tape like 6 months
ago. Yeah, it's called The Sad Tomorrows or something, right?
That's yes. Right. And I was actually surprised to learn that Brian doesn't really even think of himself as a frontman or a singer. He thinks of himself as more as a drummer. I like Nightbirds a lot. I thought their last album was or mini album is one of those releases that does have that rare distinction, mini album as opposed to EP. I thought that was the best thing. Everything counted and was real cool. I guess I was surprised, but I know you know he's got the record thing going on and he's got the tour booking agents thing going on, so something has to give. I just want, and this isn't even a judgment, this is a just food for thought, is, you know, why do you need to announce that you're not doing anything? Can you just not do anything and then when you want to come back do stuff? Maybe because people are asking them all the time, or maybe it just maybe he's ready to be done, but he's not quite ready to admit it. So by doing an announcement, it's easier for him to end it. You see what I'm saying? As opposed to just not doing it, you know? So maybe that's the answer right there. So, I mean, I'm sad to see the band go, but I'm not terribly surprised because Nightbirds haven't really done a whole lot over the past 5 or 6 years. So they were a cool band. And so, yeah.
A. So will you guys be heading to the final Nightbirds gig?
Maybe. If it's in the Asbury Park area, which it very well might be, yes. If it's in the Brooklyn area, no.
Yeah, I would like to see them. I would like to see them again. I think that would be great.
You just mentioned Nightbirds in the statement. Do you think he'll be doing anything with like the Side of Tomorrows or with the other band?
I think in 3 years he's going to have some like low key side project or project.
Really retiring.
Right. My bet is he's not totally retiring. He'll just be putting out low-key stuff here or there for a while to come. Also, great way to get some festival dollars in 3 or 4 years or 5 years. And I can't blame him, you know. If the Circle of Jerks can do it, why can't the Nightbirds?
True. Now, on to a band who are still together for right now. NOFX are going to release a new album. It's called Double Album. It is, of course, a follow-up to their 2021 album, Single Album, which was originally supposed to be a double album. So this is the other half of it, and they're releasing it now. So it's a single album, but it's called Double Album. It'll be out December 2nd on Fat Records. And their first single, Darby Crashing Your Party, has also been released. At this point, the band had just yet to release an official statement themselves about them either disbanding or remaining a band. So that's still kind of up in the air, but looks like it might be happening. And in the case that it is, this might be their last album together as a band. So what do you think of the new track? Will this be their last output or will there be more? And does it feel like they're just kind of mailing it in with, like, here's the second half?
Well, I've been saying the same thing about NOFX for the past 5 or 6 years. I thought First Ditch Effort was actually – I'm not a huge NOFX fan. I'm not a hater, but I'm definitely not a huge fan. I thought First Ditch Effort was a really good record, and I thought, oh, well, maybe NOFX is actually good. And then I listen to a whole bunch of NOFX records, and I'm always like, this is just not for me. And so I think this track sounds like NOFX. I think it's funny that they're calling this album Double Album, or it's a single album, and it follows Single Album. And also, I distinctly remember a very famous Fat Mike – not actually, it wasn't a famous Fat Mike quote. It was a one-off Fat Mike quote where he was talking about that Green Day record, Uno Dos Tres. And he said, that's a dumb idea, because what if you put out Uno when everyone hates it and you still have to put out the second or third record, which is exactly what happened with Green Day and those three records. And it's funny that now NOFX is kind of doing something somewhat similar, although that they didn't announce double record in the future. I'm still not convinced that NOFX actually is breaking up. Maybe they are. I just think it's weird that they would say they're breaking up, that Fat Mike would say he's breaking up, then the band doesn't issue any official statement whatsoever. Then they put out an album, and they don't say, it's going to be our last album, so you definitely should buy it and come see us live, you know. I think that's just Fat Mike being a prankster. I could be wrong, for sure. I think this album is modern-day NOFX, and I think NOFX fans are going to like it, not love it, and people are going to go see NOFX live, and NOFX is going to do what they do live, and which is often play terribly and without any real planning, which I love, because really they are one of, as I've said before, NOFX, people forget they really are the last band from the first or second wave of West Coast punk. People forget how old or how far back NOFX goes, 1982. That's, you know, prime era Black Flag. That's Circle Jerks. That's when NOFX started. They were kids, but they were a band then. So when you go to, and this is not a diss on punk rock, when you go to Punk Rock Bowling or when you go to Riot Fest, all the bands, even the punk bands up there, Anti-Flag, Coxbar, or whatever, they're very polished. Or if they're not polished, it's a show. We're going to play this song and we're going to have the chorus. And this and that. And I saw NOFX close Punk Rock Bowling Asbury Park. And they were just a mess. And they were like, well, what should we play now? And they were talking on stage. And I just thought it was so cool that they're headlining a festival and they just don't give a shit, which really is reminiscent of the first, you know, first wave of chaotic West Coast punk bands like the Germs that would get on stage totally high and just have no idea what's going on. Bands like Black Rennie, the Metro Squad, that would just anger the audience. And so while the music I'm not a huge fan of, I enjoy the art piece that is NOFX. That being said, the record is more the music note. And what's surprising is, as chaotic and as disorganized NOFX is on stage, and it's not an act, the records are always super duper polished, and it just turns me off. That's my opinion. Hallie Bullet, what do you say?
I don't know. I don't know that I have any theories as to like whether they're really breaking up or, you know, whether they're going to put out more stuff. I just don't. I'm not trying to sound like a jerk. I just don't care. It's fine. It's totally fine for other people to care. But I just, this band like meant a lot to me at a certain point in my life. And then I think like a lot of people, I just sort of feel like I just don't need to hear sort of like a regurgitation of the same ideas that they were doing back then, but like not quite as good. And this song to me is like definitely falls into that category. It's like got some of the, you know, some of the rhyming and some of the turns of phrase are like you listen to them and you're like, oh yeah, right, like Fat Mike, like he is quite a talented songwriter, you know. It's like there were things about this song that reminded me of the things that he used to do that really like dazzled me as a fan. But you know, it's, I couldn't really totally tell what he was getting at with the song. It seemed a little bit like an apology about who he is. And then also just kind of like, I am what I am, take it or leave it. I thought some of the,
you mean every Fat Mike NOFX song for the past 15 years?
Yeah. You know, just like, which it's like, which is it, you know? And some of the like puns and like language were just like plain hokey, and I'm not feeling it, which is like not a surprise, right? I think a lot of people aren't. I guess I respect them for just sort of still putting stuff out if that's what they want to do. As I always say, it's like, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. I'm in no way offended or upset that NOFX is like putting this out, and if they want to break up, I think that's fine. I think it kind of makes sense. It seems like definitely, I feel like a lot of people are in the category that I am, where I have a lot of nostalgia for the band, but don't really need to go see them or hear new stuff from them. But wait, so which of us how recently have you seen NOFX? Cause I haven't seen them since like a South by Southwest. That was maybe like 6 years ago is the last time I saw them. When have you seen them more recently than that?
I saw a Punk Rock Bowling Asbury Park like 4 years ago. And honestly, I can't remember if I saw them at Punk Rock Bowling Las Vegas after that. Let me look. I mean, that's how I feel like I did. And I feel like I just didn't care. Let me see. Give me a second. NOFX, yeah. Punk Rock Bowling. I'll tell you if I saw them. I know I would have stuck around and saw them. No, I didn't see them because I wasn't at the one where they the whole like, you know, comment on stage incident or whatever.
So yeah.
I feel like I've seen them twice, but I guess I haven't.
I don't have a sense of like, you know, who goes to see them anymore, or if it's a lot of people or a little people. And I don't know who, but I don't know how many people buy these albums that they put out. You know, I'd be like a little curious to know if they're like breaking up when they still have quite like a good like thing going on, or if they're breaking up because just the whole thing is kind of feels like it's over, you know.
They definitely sell a lot of tickets. I mean, even now, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have feelings and thoughts about this?
About NOFX.
I think it's funny they're calling it double album. I didn't really like the song. Same thing, like as you, Hallie. Like, NOFX was like a huge part of my life for high school and a little after, and then it was kind of like, oh, they're putting out something new, cool, I'm gonna listen to it. And I was like, oh neat. And then they put out a single album and I hated it, and I couldn't get through this song. It was just like, it's more of the same, and I'm not in the mood for this. you know? So it's like, if they were to tour, I would see them just to say, like, I've seen them live kind of thing, and just see what chaos their shows are. But yeah, that's that. It is interesting that, John, you brought up breaking up could be just like a publicity thing to get more eyes on him.
I don't even know if it's that strategy. You know, Fat Mike has pranked before with the Cokie the Clown pee thing, which I thought was hilarious and cool. And you know, I think Fat Mike does see himself as a first wave punk rocker. I mean, this track references Darby Crash.
Yeah.
Fat Mike is always referencing Darby. He references Darby Crash time and time again, and I think he sees Darby as the iconic ideal of punk rock, which I wouldn't disagree with that statement. And so Fat Mike just likes to prank stuff, and like Fat Mike, actually Fat Mike has a comment, don't always give the audience what the audience wants, which is a very smart statement and a very accurate, and I don't even mean to like celebrate Fat Mike. I'm not anti-Fat Mike. I just, I'm just saying when he's right, he's right. And so I think he's just pranking and angering the audience, which has sort of a counterintuitive effect. You might think, and the Replacements are a great example of this, a band that gets on stage and always gives the audience exactly what they want, the audience actually kind of gets bored after a while. But if you get on stage and you don't always give them what they want, like the Replacements, like Bauhaus, then it keeps them hungry, like Morrissey, then it keeps the audience hungry. So when you do knock it out of the park, people are blown away that much further and honestly tend to generate more interesting art. But also, I think, keep the band in the headlines more. Like, I mean, honestly, well, Morrissey's a bad example. Whatever example you want is, if you're not always on the A game with a purpose and you're annoying sometimes, then that will keep you in the new press and it makes art more interesting and honestly keeps your audience more engaged as well. The best example is Leftover Crack. Leftover Crack was terrible a lot. And then sometimes, like at Punk Rock One Las Vegas, they were literally the best band on the world in that moment. So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's NOFX. And that's, some could argue, the past. And now we're going to talk about the future. And something that's really, really exciting, and that's Punitive Damage, woo, are releasing their debut full-length album. This is really, really exciting. Up to this point, they've released a demo and two EPs, and their two EPs were We Don't Forget and Strike Back, which are both amazing, and if you haven't listened to them, check them out. Their demos also are really good. So their new EP has 13 new songs, and the first single, Drawn Lines, has been released. Drawn Lines clocks in 1 second shy of a minute, and it is amazing. It's super fast. It's super aggressive. It's just great. Flat, fast, blistering hardcore. Awesome. Lead singer, Steph J, her voice sounds amazing. She also plays bass in Regional Justice Center, which is a cool cross over. And I love when, like, you listen to hardcore and you have somebody doing that with their voice, where it's just like, absolutely, that's all. It's just a voice. It's just like pure rage. It's pure everything. And I really, really like it. I think they're one of the bands advancing the future of hardcore and the future of punk rock in general. So, John, do you think that they are the future of hardcore punk? What did you think of the track? And are you excited for the album?
I do think they're the future of hardcore punk. I think this band and Gel and Scowl are getting everybody to take notice, and they should be, because all those bands are cool. They're taking the classic sound of hardcore and updating it. It's very intense, it's very fierce, and it's very cool. I think this is the future of hardcore. What was your question, aside with, is it the future or not?
Is it the future? Are you excited? And what did you think of the track?
Yes, and I thought the track was good.
I wrote to myself in response to this was, this is just not my idea of a good time. But I, you know, it's like I'm listening to it, I can hear that it's good, but like, whatever, you guys are not surprised. This is not for me. This music is for other people. But yeah, like, very powerful, very aggressive. Not my thing, but like, who cares? I could tell because you wrote about it, but also I was like, oh, this is M's shit. She like loves this.
Yes.
Yeah.
I also wrote about them for one of our lists that we posted on
News.
So listeners, go read the lists and find out which one it's on. So read all of them because it's on one of them. And if you don't read the one it's on, you'll read some really cool shit and find some awesome bands. One other band that's also ushering in the future of hardcore and released now a song this week is Jive Bomb. So check them out too. They're on 2022. New, cool new bands. So from the future of hardcore punk back to an older band, forging ahead into the future is Sam.I.M. They've released their first new song in over 10 years. Commenters are excited. It's called Lights Out Little Hustler and features Chris Wallard of Hot Water Music. They've also signed to Pure Noise Records and they are working on a new LP, which will be out at some point. So, Hallie, thoughts on the track? Do you like Sam.I.M.? Does the band have the draw of the past?
Yeah, I never got into Sam.I.M. And you know, actually, like, I wasn't able to go to the Frantic City Festival in Atlantic City this last weekend. I really would have liked to have gone, but I had like long-standing plans and wasn't able to go. But then I lucked out because WFMU was just, you know, my favorite little radio station was just streaming the whole thing. And so we actually got to listen to a ton of it from the car, and so much of it was so good. Like, dude, Control Top, I think, opened the whole festival. Like, their set was so, so good. And like the Titus set sounded like it was amazing. And then we're just like driving and talking and half paying attention. And then a band was playing and my husband and I were both like, this is pretty boring. Like, who is this? Then we finally figured out that it was Sam.I.M.
Oh, no.
So just like, I don't know, just not for me. And yet, you know, so I'm like going through the stuff that we're going to talk about this week. And I see that and I'm, you know, I'm just sort of making an assumption that I'll find it pretty boring. I absolutely totally liked. I loved this track. I thought it was like great and powerful and yet somehow like also kind of thought like weirdly thoughtful, and it's in some kind of weird time signature. I'm not great with my music theory. Maybe someone can write in and tell me what time signature is this is in, like 5/4 or something. It's like there's always like a little extra measure when you don't expect it, and it gives it this gives it this like really really wonderful feel. I loved that pleasing little repeating guitar part. And again, because there's just like this extra measure kind of thrown in, like it just goes on like a little bit longer than you expect it to before it starts repeating again. And I just, something about it like really, really drew me in. I was super into this track. So I don't know. I don't know if, again, I didn't get that into them back in the day. So I don't know if this means that I should be like going back through their back catalog and finding other little gems like this that might speak to me, or if maybe just, I wonder if they're just more mature and rounding a corner and it's going to make their newer stuff maybe more appealing to me as a listener. What did you guys think?
John, was this your cup of tea?
Oh, wait, someone say something. What were we talking about? What were we talking about?
Oh, did I talk too long?
No. What were we talking about? What band were we talking about?
Sam.I.M. Not your thing.
Yeah, I just keep falling asleep. What band were we talking about?
This is how I felt. This is how I felt during their Frantic City set. I was like, who cares? Who cares about any of this?
I'm glad people like them. This sounds like mid-2000s radio rock to me. I don't hear any punk at all. This, not everything has to be punk, but then why am I listening? I mean, like, yeah, it's not punk, it's reggae. Oh, well, reggae. Well, it's not punk, it's disco. Disco's got some damn. Let's just hear some bland radio rock where I'm going to bare my soul and hold out lyrics to emphasize that I really mean this. And I'm going to have a little bit of damage in my voice. And that'll make you think, like, I'm Bruce Springsteen. And it means emotion. And I'm gonna be upsetting. And you can have those feelings too. The problem is I don't have those feelings. I don't have those feelings that all these kinds of bands, I don't have those feelings. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But at any rate, I don't care. I'm sorry, listener. I don't care about Sam.I.M. I don't care. Sam, I'm not.
Do you care about Sam.I.M.?
I had not heard, like, I'd heard of the band, but I never listened to the band. And I knew it was a band that people really, really liked. And again, the reaction was like, the commenters are going nuts and people are like, holy shit. And I didn't understand it. I listened to it and I listened to it once or twice and it did not stick. Nothing about it stuck, which was really just something that doesn't happen with a lot of songs. So it was just like, oh, okay, just not for me. Good for you. But yeah, I just wondered if people cared about it.
Like, Em, what are they going nuts over? Like what's so nuts about this? You know?
Nostalgia? Is that it? Or is it just...
We need our Sam here on this episode to explain to explain this to us. Because I am quite positive that she, like... this is probably a band that she likes, right?
I think Sam I Am is like one of her very favorite bands of all
time,
actually.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine. I would
It'd
imagine so.
Interesting to hear her take on it and like what the band is, I guess, for lack of a better word. So, Hallie, play a song.
I want to play something by Control Top. They have a song called Type A that I'm really enjoying. And yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sure, unless I just tuned in late, I'm pretty sure they opened the Frantic City Festival this last weekend. And man, I listening to this set on the radio really, really made me wish that I was at the festival. I was like, oh, this sounds totally amazing. So yeah, I'll play Control Top, Type A.
And that was Control Top Type A, and we are back. Supergroups, they are not as prevalent as they were a couple years ago in the 90s when there was a lot of supergroups. Now, the new supergroup on the scene is LS Dunes. So, they are made up of Frank Iero of My Chemical Romance, Travis Stever of Coheed and Cambria, Kim Payne Tucker, Rule of Thursday, and Anthony Green of Circa Survive. And they have just released a video for the second single off their upcoming debut LP, Past Lives. So that will be out November 11th. And it follows their first single, which was Permanent Rebellion. Permanent Rebellion is really, really good. It's very, it's post-hardcore, but it's leaning more towards hardcore. And it's just, it's a very, very, very good song. I would recommend people check it out. And they just released a video for the second single, like I just said, called 2022. So 2022 is a reworked Anthony Green solo song. It came out on his most recent solo album, and then it disappeared from streaming services. So people were like, what's going on? Well, this is what's going on. Now it's an LS Dunes song. Surprise. And the song is very emotionally, I guess, and lyrically heavy. And it's done, again, in more of a post-hardcore kind of way. There are quieter parts. There are screaming parts. There's some melody. There's a mix of kind of everything. It does sound like members of Thursday, Circa Survive, Koi Cambria, and My Chemical Romance, which it is, which I think is really cool. So, as advertised. So, Permanent Rebellion, like I said, is definitely more punkier. This is more introspective, but it's very, very good. The vocals are really cool. They're rougher vocals. I'm really excited for the album. I think it's going to be very, very good. And the whole thing was like, it's interesting now about supergroups where it's, these people came together and they released this and this is their name and this is who they are. Ta-da. And it just seems like there's not really a big production about it. And then, like, again, looking back, like Mad Season with like members of Alice in Chains and lots of other bands, like that was a huge thing. And that was like everywhere. And it's like now if it's a supergroup, it's just like, yep, here we are. We made something. There you go. Check it out. And there's not really a lot of production around it anymore.
So is it just because people are used to supergroups now? They're like, yep, these people are hanging out. They're putting out music. We don't really need all of this hype. Or is it just because they're not as exciting? Because maybe there's more of them. Maybe there's less of them. Maybe people don't seem to make it a big deal anymore. So what are your guys' thoughts on supergroups right now? And if you could create a supergroup out of any musicians, dead or alive, who would be in it? And also, what did you think of this track?
That was so many questions.
Hey.
I didn't like this, but now I'm wishing that I heard the other single. Because if you're telling me that one's better, I'm gonna have to go back and listen to that one. Because I didn't like this at all. And what? So this is the rhythm guitarist from My Chemical Romance. Who's Frank from My Chemical Romance? Do you know what he plays?
Yeah, he's a guitarist and he has backing vocals. So when you hear like the screams, that's him.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I like some My Chemical Romance stuff and some of it I don't. And this, I was hoping that this would grab me in the way that some of the stuff of theirs that I like did, but it didn't. But I'll definitely listen to the other thing. As for supergroups of, as for making my own supergroup, I don't know, I'll have to get back to you on that. That's a very big question, Em. I feel we could dedicate an entire episode to that.
Hey, there you go. Special episode.
Yeah.
Supergroup episode.
John, are you able to invent your own dream supergroup off the top of your head right now?
Yes. Well, no supergroup will ever beat Dream Car, the band that featured all the members of No Doubt except Gwen Stefani and Davey Havoc from AFI, the best supergroup ever. which definitely wasn't a label invention that said, well, you guys aren't doing anything on your own. You should get together and make this big overblown album. And it won't sound like No Doubt, and it won't sound like AFI. It'll just sound bland, and it'll be great. And we'll call it Dream Car, because that makes a lot of sense for a band name, and no one will ever beat that. Supergroup. All right. So the key to making a supergroup is that you can pick your favorite artists, but they have to be able to work well together. You know what I mean? And so, like for example, like Jack Terrycloth, great example. Jack Terrycloth, one of my favorite singers of all time, but the only band that Jack Terrycloth can really be in is World Inferno, because he is World Inferno, you know?
Yeah.
Let me do one off the top of my head. Keith Morris. Dimitri. Oh, I can't remember Dimitri's last name. Keith Morris, Dimitri. Give me a second. Dimitri. What the hell is Dimitri's last name? Keith Morris.
Coates?
Dimitri Coates. Mara Rubacaba, Stephen McDonald. How's that for a super group? I'll do a real one real quick. All right, here we go. All right, let me think who's one of my Jello Biafra. All right, got Jello Biafra because he's not doing anything right now, so we'll pick him. On guitar, we will have Buzz Osborne. Well, he already did that though. All right, Jello Biafra, because Jello can work with a lot of different artists. Jello Biafra with. On guitar, we're going to have... I got it. Jello Biafra singing. On drums, Chuck Biscuits. On guitar, we're going to have... On guitar, we're going to... Oh, no, no. All right, here we go. All right, I got it now. I'm going English. American's too hard. English. All right. On vocals, Steve Ignorant. On drums. This is too hard. We'll have to come back and do this.
Right?
Because, like, you can say Jimi Hendrix and Issa Rae Ray and you know, Gary Newman.
That would be pretty hilarious. I would listen to that.
Like, you can name, like, people you think are awesome, but together they'll be terrible.
I would check it out just to see.
We'll come back and we'll do that as an episode.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Oh, actually, no, I'm going to do a fake answer. I actually have envisioned this for years, and it's never going to happen. A hip-hop supergroup. KRS-One, Shock G, R.I.P., Flava Flav, Chuck D, and Ice-T, and Ice Cube all in a group, but instead of phoning it in like Ice Cube totally did with that last super group that no one cared about at all, banging late 80s beats, and all five of those guys just totally going off. There's my super group. That's not my real rock answer. That's my
It's still a super group. Still counts.
Fair enough.
Still counts. All right. So now moving on to a group doing something super or not, depending on your opinion of ska, is New York-based ska band Stop the Presses, who just released a video for their cover of Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill. And they join other notable bands who have covered the song, like Mike Watt and the Black Gang, the Linda Lindas, Dog Party, the Melvins with Terry Genderbender of La Butcherettes, and Miley Cyrus. Their version is slowed down. There's keys, there's different percussion, like I think there's a vibra slap. It has like kind of a groovy vibe. It's less urgent than the original. It does feel like a different song. But what did you guys think of Stop the Presses' take on Rebel Girl by Bikini Kill?
What'd you think, John?
I had a lot of thoughts on this. First of all, Stop Presses is cool. The young lady that sings, she actually plays keys in Crazy in the Brains, too, and she's very talented and she's a good, real good singer. I kind of think that maybe Rebel Girl's been covered enough. It feels like everyone's covered Rebel Girl. But if they want to cover it, they want to cover it. Here's where I'm thinking out loud, and I'm not saying that I'm definitely right. I'm saying this is what's going through my mind, and you guys can check me if I'm wrong. Rebel Girl is a very political song, and it has a very strong statement. And it's not a fun song. It's fun to listen to, but it's a song with real meaning behind it. And at the time, it really had a unique statement. And it really, Rebel Girl came out what, 88 or something like that. That's the height of bands like Poison and Warrant and Motley Crue and all these guys, like, you know.
Yeah.
Girls, yeah. I like having sex with girls, and we, you know, bang them and we leave them because we're Motley Crue, aren't we cool? And everyone's like, yeah, it's a cool Motley Crue. And then Kathleen Hannah comes around and she's like, she's doing what she wants. Everyone in town hates her, and I think she's cool because everyone in town hates her, and she's doing what she wants to do. And quite radically, Kathleen Hannah even says, was it she wants to make her girlfriend or something in the song? What you did not really hear that even in punk rock in the 80s. What's the line? I want to take her clothes off or something like that, or something.
I want to try on your clothes.
No, but there's another. I'm gonna pull the lyrics up real quick. I think that's in there, unless maybe the Terry Genderbender version. I've actually listened to that more than the Bikini Kill version, but I like them both. The point being is the song is a very impactful, meaningful song. Give me a second here. I think I want to take you home. I want to try your clothes on. When she talks, I hear the revolution in her hips. There's a revolution. So I mean, So anyways, so you didn't hear any of that kind of stuff in music at that time, really. I mean, maybe in like some folk stuff, but not even in punk rock. And so I wonder, and check me if I'm wrong, is this song kind of continuing the core element and the core meaning of the song? Or is it, look at us, we're having fun, let's have fun. And maybe that's not a bad thing. So I feel as though this song doesn't have the thunder and the meaning of the original, and it's kind of, you know, look at us. But then, maybe I'm wrong, and here's why. Bruce Riley's made the statement that basically he's convinced way more people to do positive change through happy songs that sound like a party rather than an angry political, you know, treatise. So maybe that's what's going on here. Hallie Bullet, I'm confused. Should I be confused, or am I right to juggle all these balls at the same time?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I was expecting to hate this, but I really liked it. I think everyone knows the original, and everyone knows how, like, yeah, just like gripping and immediate and angry the original is, and I think it's like fine that they, I always prefer to hear a cover that takes the song in a new direction. And I was just so relieved that it wasn't taken in the, like, you know, just like this kind of ska where it just sort of sounds like it should be on like a soundtrack to like a children's album or a children's show, like a children's TV show. You know, like I was just so glad that it wasn't like super like peppy, and it's like it's slower. It's like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's still ska, but it's slower. It's a little, I don't know. There was like, there was a richness to it that I was really not expecting. But that being said, I can't tell, like, did I love it or was I just like pleasantly surprised that I didn't hate it? Do you know, like I'm somewhere in between those things. But I like a cover that takes the song in a new direction without ruining it. And I felt that this accomplished that, you know. Did you like this?
Yeah, it was the same thing. I was really surprised because I wasn't sure what was going to happen going in. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, wow, this is really, really different. Like, it's a minute longer than the original, like a full minute longer. It's slower. It's really, it's something else. You know, like, I thought it was really cool. I liked, at first it was like, why is it so slow? And then it was like, well, you really hear the lyrics more and mm-hmm. really get a lot of different meaning out of it. Like, that's the thing that's so interesting, right, about music and about especially covers, like a song that's very fast and urgent and then someone takes it and slows it down and takes away the urgency, but does, like you said, like provide a richness and a depth that you might not, that might pass you by if you're just like ripping through it. So I thought that was really, really interesting. But yeah, like, do you guys think that, Rebel Girl is kind of like covering it, is played it, and people should start covering other Bikini Kill songs? Or do you think Rebel Girl is covered for a reason and it will be continued to be covered until the end of time?
I mean, I guess I didn't mind that there was another cover of Rebel Girl just because it was so different from any cover that I'd heard before, you know? I think you're right. Like, I think it is so anthemic that we should probably just expect that people are going to continue to cover it through the years. But yeah, I don't know. John, are you like, come on now, can we like get to some other part of their catalog? Can we stop just covering this one song? Or I don't know. What do you think?
Well actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that kind of underscored my on the fence statement. It's like, are we covering Bikini Kill because we want to further the message, or are we covering the Bikini Kill so we can say we covered Bikini Kill?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not exactly sure what I'm feeling. It's, there's a million bands to cover. I mean, what is cool about Bikini Kill, especially Rebel Girl, is it is a song that's so meaningful to so many people, and that's cool, and the message still does hold strong. So covering Rebel Girl is not the worst thing in the world. But on the other hand, is it becoming like a thing where it's like, we did this just because we're doing this just because it's the cool thing to do, you know? And maybe I'm being a gatekeeper there. I don't mean to be. I'm just really trying to think through my thoughts. The other side is, There's so many other songs. I mean, they could cover Crash with Eve Libertine. You know, they could cover X-Ray Specs. They could cover The Slits. Those bands kind of never get covered, you know. But maybe that's just because I like those bands more than Bikini Kill, and I do like Bikini Kill a lot, but I like The Slits more. And the reason I'm combining all those bands is because they have similar messages. But on the other hand, if this is the song that has the strongest punch to your audience, then why not hit him with the strongest punch? But also, on the other hand, is maybe I'm being a little too hard on him, because really, they've just been using this song as a closer at their concerts, which I think if you're a small or smallish band, closing with a cover is a cool thing to do.
Yeah. So
on the other hand, they already know the song. Let's just make a video. Not a big deal. You know what I mean?
So, yeah. I mean, I do want to reject the idea that, like, that And I'm not, you weren't necessarily saying this, but I do think that sometimes there's this perception that like that fast music is more powerful, whereas I think it actually takes a tremendous amount of guts to like slow down a song like this and not do, I mean, there are plenty of slowed down covers where someone's just doing some like folksy acoustic like BS, but like to really like still like to have it have a groove and to just be confident enough to just play this song slow. It actually like I think is kind of powerful and like takes a certain amount of guts, and people's normal instinct when covering something, especially in the punk world, is like, oh, let's just make it faster, right? That'll make it, we'll give it more oomph. It's almost like, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was cool that they slowed it down.
I agree 100% that sometimes the most moving and political music is slow. Reggae is the greatest example of that.
You know? Exactly.
But that being said, I don't know if this take is powerful from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But on the, like I said, on the other hand, is there's a million angry political songs out there, but happy political songs actually tend to be more effective. You know.
Yeah.
So, I mean. Never mind. Go ahead.
No. I said I was just agreeing with you.
No. I was trying to think of an example. I was going to use Jeff Rosenstock as an example, but Rosenstock isn't necessarily happy. It's not even necessarily political. So I don't know why I was using that as an example. So,
an odd direction to take this conversation.
I'm trying to think of happy political music that everyone like. Well, The Coup is a great example, but The Coup is actually not that huge. So I don't know. You know.
I mean, Bob Marley. You know, in a way. I mean, there's lots of those songs that sound, sound mellow.
Actually, I'm
and happy-ish, and then you listen to the words, and go ahead.
I'm going to give an example, and then I'm going to put a moratorium for 3 or 4 episodes about this band, because I bring them up all the time, and I should bring them up a little less.
Here it comes.
Greatest example, Crack Rock Steady by Choking Victim. You know, it's all about killing cops and burning down churches, but it's this happy song that everybody loves. And honestly, Crack Rock Steady probably has been the introduction to a lot of people's, hundreds of thousands of people's mindset to that kind of politics. So there's an example, you know.
Propagandi?
But is that been happy? I mean,
I think some, a lot, just in that it's these super catchy melodies and it's fast, but not like not in like a hardcore way. I think it's just like the stuff is it is pop punk, you know, but you listen to the words and you're like, oh, shit, like this band like knows what they're fucking talking about, you know.
Actually, I'll give you one more example that's out of the punk realm. Funkadelic in Parliament. A lot of those songs are extremely political, you know, but they're kind of fun to listen to, like Paint the White House Black. Or Standing on the Verge of Getting On, or what's that song? America Eats Its Young. All those tracks are like really peppy, and I'm sure really influential. Or how about Sly and the Family Stone? You know, all those songs. Or more. Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be? Go ahead. Sorry, I'm rambling here. And more. Take control. Take the reins back.
Take the reins. The horses are we're galloping across the field.
That's the whole point. It's just unleash the chaos. That's what it is. So we have 2 stories left. Do you want to cover both or just one?
Let's hit them. Let's pile through them.
All right. So Minneapolis-based indie pop emo band Bugsy have released a video for their single Slip and Slide. The video was shot and edited by the band. It has a DIY feel to it. And it's really fun, and it's really funny, and the band it shows them performing, and then it shows them, like, it pretending to be business people, and the lead singer is hosting a meeting about why they're the best boss, and yelling at people, and they end up, like, getting them, and tying them to a chair, and dumping water on them, and then making a slip and slide, and, like, dragging them down the slip and slide. So that's the video, and it's very fun and it's very good. And the song was released as a single a couple months ago, and it's finally getting a video. The song is very good. Hallie, you mentioned earlier about odd time signatures. This has an odd time signature in the vocal delivery and in the background. I love this song. I haven't been able to like really stop listening to it. I'm listening to it like at least once a day. I thought the song was really good. The video fits really well. The video has some humor to it. Obviously, it's really fun. It's really funny. At one point, the
lead singer Emily Schoonover holds up a "Why I'm the Best Boss" thing, and two of the reasons are "I am very good at business" and "I said so." So, have you ever thrown water at a boss? And what did you think of the song and video and Bugsy in general?
I thought this was awesome. Like, seriously awesome. I mean, I don't know how, like, I don't know what I think about, like, finally making a video for a song that you released, like, 5 months earlier. Like, I don't know how, like, exciting I think that is. But I hadn't heard this song before. And the fact that they released this video for it, like, it is the reason that I heard this song. So I guess it's definitely served its purpose, you know? Yeah, I thought this was really great. And actually, speaking of, do you guys know the band Egghead, pop punk band from New York City?
No.
Egghead was like big in the pop punk scene in like the late 90s, mid to late 90s, I would say. And the singer is a friend, and like he's an actor, like you would recognize him. He was on Big Bang Theory and like a bunch of shows and stuff. But they just released a video for a song that I think they released like 20-25 years ago. so they beat Bugsy in that department. John, did you like this?
Yes, I thought it was cool. I find it interesting how a lot of the young people are referencing 90s grunge and post-grunge and pre-grunge in the modern expression. And I think it's cool and amusing. And I think the video is good as well.
All right. So something else that's cool and amusing is Paramore. They have announced they will be releasing a new album. This will be their first album after a 5-year hiatus. And it's called This Is Why. They've also released a video for the title track that was directed by Brendan Yates of Turnstile. So they're back with an album, with a song, ready to rock and roll. What do you guys think of the return of Paramore? Are you excited about the return of Paramore? And what did you think of the song?
Go, John.
I can't stand Paramore. I think they're cheesy, overproduced, a boring radio rock band that is specifically designed to make people, quote, like them and be on the radio and really not say anything and act like it's saying something. I can't stand Paramore, and I like this song. I thought it was kind of cool. I dug the track. I thought maybe it's a little long, but I mean, I thought I was going to hate this. And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of catchy, new wave-ish, modern new wave-ish. Still a little overproduced, but I thought it was kind of cool, so... I don't know, maybe I'll have to go back and reevaluate Paramore. I mean, Paramore has always been one of these bands that kind of gets lumped in with punk, and I'm like, and I'm not trying to be a gatekeeper or anything, but it's like, how is this punk at all? Like, at all? But I kind of like this song, so I don't know, man. What do I know?
Samesies. Samesies, John Gentile. I'm not hugely into Paramore. And this song is, like, fantastic, right? It's like, it almost sounds like something Franz Ferdinand would put out. It's just like, and I highly approve of all of the dancing in this video. It just like made me want to get up and move. I was just, I was super, super into this. I think, you know, whether I like her music or not, she's a supremely talented person. And this was just like, yeah, seeing someone like, super talented, trying something new, finding like a different way to express herself in a way that I'm totally on board. I'm like, can't wait to see what else she's gonna do. Em, did you like this?
Yeah, I liked the song. I liked the video. I thought it was really good. It was different. It was fun. Like, there's so much going on. It was great. I have never really listened to Paramore. I've listened to a couple songs, but like I never really got into them because of like just reading garbage online where it was like, oh, this band sucks, and it's like, oh, okay, and whatever, which again, don't read the comments, actually listen to it and figure it out for yourself. But yeah, no, I really like this song. It does make me want to like go back and kind of again, like John, like you said, like reevaluate Paramore. I will definitely be checking out this album. And yeah, like the video is just fun. Like the dancing's great. It's kind of like they're in a cult at different points. That's what like, and it's just, I love it. I love the vibe. It's cool. Go for it. I think we're going to see more cult imagery. Maybe not. I don't know.
I would be into that.
Will we see more cult imagery? What do you think?
Yeah, like definitely. I mean, it just seems like she just, I don't know, the petticoats are off. Do you know what I mean? like she, because I know what you're saying, John. Like there was like just a poppiness and a sort of middle of the road radio sound. And this is still very poppy and very appealing to like I think a broad like a wide audience, but some like the restraints are off. It just sort of felt like fuck it, let's just do what we want. And so yes, I think if she wants to go with cult imagery, like fucking I'm there. I'm here for it.
John, are you joining the cult of Paramore?
I would not join any cult, but I will give them more leniency going forward with regard to my caustic and damaging attacks toward the band's character and
All right, so I'm gonna play a song. I'm gonna play "Slip and Slide" by Bugsy, and we'll be right back to wrap this puppy on up. And we're back. So, is there anything you want the listeners to know?
Well, now that I'm an honorary Canadian, We love Rush, we love the Guess Who, all of them great bands, Bachman Turner Overdrive, Working Overtime. Every day I'm out there rustling them cattle and picking up them potatoes, and I'm like, you know what, Bachman Turner Overdrive, I'm working overtime, taking care of business in Canada. God bless Canada.
I don't know. I feel like I love this band Control Top. I think that was the main thing I wanted to say. Oh, if you're a huge fan of Def Leppard's song Photograph, which I am, you might be entertained by Miley Cyrus singing it. So you can find that online. It's pretty great.
And that's all, folks. Contact us at podcast@punknews.org at any point in time. And we'll see you next week.
Ciao, Bella.
I have to show you guys. Am I on? Can you see me?
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, I can't see. Oh, there you are.
Are you ready?